Hello and welcome to our first Saturday reflection on the mysteries of the Rosary for June. Today we'll be praying with and meditating on the luminous mysteries, with a particular focus on Mary and the priesthood. Today in the Diocese of Arlington is the priestly ordinations. Bishop Burbage is ordaining 8 men to the priesthood today. And so the topic of the priesthood and Our Lady seems appropriate and fitting. As you know, the 5 luminous mysteries are the baptism of our Lord, 2nd, the wedding feast at Cana, 3rd, the proclamation of the kingdom of God and the call to repentance, 4th is the transfiguration, and 5th is the institution of the Eucharist, which also happens to include the institution of the priesthood. Each of these mysteries has a beautiful connection to the holy priesthood, in particular because the priesthood is about sacrifice, offering the one sacrifice of Christ to the Father for the reconciliation of mankind to God and the forgiveness of our sins. The nature of priesthood as such is about offering sacrifice, and so all of the various kinds of sacrifices that priests in every culture, in every age have offered are all a prefigurement, or sometimes in a bad way, a twisting of what God had planned to institute for us, namely the sacrifice of Christ. And so beginning with the baptism of our Lord, you know that the full sign of baptism is not the pouring of water over the head, but rather the immersion. And so the word baptism itself comes from the Greek, and that is a means to immerse, to submerge under the water. And so the fact that Christ himself, although he is sinless, goes underneath the water and then comes out of the water, that is a sign of his death and his resurrection. Pope Benedict calls the baptism of our Lord the inauguration of his mission, the beginning of his mission. And so we can see that our Lord at the beginning of his mission shows us what it is he has come to do, to die and to rise again. And we use water in the sacrament of baptism, and Christ used water at his own baptism to signify and show that by his death and resurrection, he would free us from our sin. And so in baptism, when you and I were baptized, we became sons and daughters of God, members of the body of Christ, which is the church. In fact, members of Christ himself, because he is one with his body. And that means that we share the same mission as Christ. And Christ's mission is threefold. It is priest, prophet, and king. Well, how does that have a connection to Our Lady? What does that have to do with Our Lady? Mary, as you know, is the archetypal and preeminent member of the church. She's the preeminent member of the body of Christ. She was herself preserved from original sin by the death and resurrection of Christ, and in a preemptive kind of a way. And she therefore shares perfectly in the baptismal priesthood that all of us have because of our baptismal character. And so Mary then, like all of us who are baptized, is given, like we are, to offer sacrifice in some kind of a way. Well, the only sacrifice that is, in the end, worth offering for us, the first sacrifice, is, of course, the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he offers his body. He offers his body to his Father for the sake of our salvation, and then unites us to that very same body. So Mary, as a member of the body of Christ, is also offering this sacrifice, just like you and I are offering this sacrifice every time we assist at Holy Mass. So Mary offers that sacrifice perfectly as the preeminent and archetypal member of the body of Christ. The ministerial priest, one who's ordained as a priest, offers that same sacrifice too, in the person of Christ the head. Her presence then, her presence at every single Mass, and her continual offering of that sacrifice encourages us as priests and whoever the priest is offering the Mass, but also all of us who assist at the Mass, to offer that same sacrifice worthily and to unite ourselves really and truly to the one sacrifice of Christ. So we share in the death and resurrection of Christ by our baptism. And so that means that our whole life then becomes an offering to God because of the baptism into Christ that we have received. The second luminous mystery is the wedding feast at Cana. It's a beautiful scene, our Lord's first public miracle. And you know that Our Lady herself is there present. And when she notices in her maternal and loving care that they are running out of wine at this reception, at this feast, at this wedding feast, she comes to our Lord and she says to him, she brings to him that information that they have no wine. And as you know, he says to her, "Well, what is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." Our Lord's hour that he refers to in this moment is his hour to manifest himself, to show forth his glory to all of the nations. Well, that hour is the cross in John's Gospel, in which we find the wedding feast at Cana, and this repetition of that word, the hour, our Lord's hour. John's Gospel makes that very clear. So the hour, then, is not Cana. However, what happens at Cana only makes sense in the end in light of the cross. So notice what happens at the wedding feast after that is that there are 6 stone jars there for the purification of the Jews. That water that was meant to be put in those jars was meant for the ritual purification of the Jews who wanted to engage in temple worship, to take part in temple worship. And that ritual cleansing is itself a prefigurement of baptism, which we've just been praying with in the context of the baptism of our Lord. But we know that the rituals offered in the temple were not sufficient to cleanse us really and truly from sin, because the blood of bulls and goats doesn't take away sin, like we hear in the letter to the Hebrews. But those are a prefigurement of our Lord's sacrifice, he who is the Lamb of God, which really and truly does take away sin. And so those jars filled with water then are turned into wine. We could even say transubstantiated into wine. It's just a word that means a change of substance. And that, of course, as I use that word, you understand, is meant to prefigure a different transubstantiation, namely the transformation of wine into blood, namely the blood of Christ. So that water being turned into wine is meant to emphasize the joy that our bridegroom is supposed to bring to his bride. It's one of the prescriptions of the Old Testament for a bridegroom to bring joy to his bride. And wine is something that, Scripture is clear, brings joy to the hearts of men. So in the context of the sacrifice of Christ, we recognize that the joy, the true joy that Christ, who is the bridegroom, wants to bring to his bride, the church, that's going to be found in the salvation that is wrought by Christ's sacrifice, brought to us again, that's given to us through that other transubstantiation, namely, again, of wine into blood. So Mary's role here indicates that a priest is drawn into sacrifice for others precisely by the needs of the people. And the purpose of hers is to assist us in accomplishing our mission, us as priests, certainly as a ministerial priest and the entire body of Christ, to share in that sacrifice and to bring all of our needs, all of the difficulties and challenges that we have in daily life, to place those at the foot of the cross of Christ and to allow his one sacrifice to bring us the joy that we are seeking, the peace that we are seeking, the love that we are seeking in the context of our Christian lives. The third luminous mystery is the proclamation of the kingdom of God and the call to repentance. Very simple, our Lord's mission, recognizing that the forgiveness of sins and the kingdom of God are ushered in through sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Whether it's the self-sacrifice that is required when one brings their sins and their weaknesses and their brokenness to to Christ himself, because there is a sort of a fear and a recognition that I deserve judgment because of my sin. Yet when it's laid at the that itself is a sacrifice, by the way, to bring bring oneself with one's own sins to the one who very justly and rightly could give us punishment for our sins. There's a sacrifice there, and a humble sacrifice to own that and to recognize that. And yet, precisely because we're willing to offer that sacrifice, he, our Lord and Savior and our King, responds in mercy and in goodness and in love. Because of his sacrifice, he takes the justice that belonged to us and takes that on his own shoulders for the sake of all of mankind, fulfilling the justice of God because of the sin of mankind and of all of humanity. So Mary, during this time, would have traveled with Christ. She shares the burden of the journey, again, so that the head and the body are themselves one. She's also a motherly presence for the apostles, the other disciples who are traveling with our Lord. Again, a difficult existence, you know the words of our Lord, when he says, foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. And that certainly included his disciples, who were one with him. Her presence in the context of the proclamation of the kingdom and the call to repentance indicates the real necessity of the presence of Our Lady in all of the work of the priests. She's certainly not the main focus, but her presence is still essential and is still very real. We also recognize that she, as this woman who is placing her trust in the work of her Savior and her Son, she also becomes one who can invite. She becomes one who can influence the crowds around her, and to be a motherly presence who is ushering to our Lord, bringing to our Lord all of those who are seeking forgiveness and healing. You can only imagine the role that she played in bringing so many others to Christ at that time. And we know the role that she plays now in bringing others to Christ. It's a role that we, as members of the body of Christ, are called to imitate. The fourth luminous mystery is the transfiguration of our Lord. Luke's gospel is very clear that when up on that mountain, when our Lord his clothing becomes white as light, and he's seen there by Peter, James, and John speaking to Moses and Elijah. Luke tells us that they are speaking of the exodus that Jesus was to accomplish in Jerusalem. I mean, that word is exodus is used intentionally. I mean that he is going to free us from slavery. Just like in the Exodus, the people of Israel were freed from slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt, now we are going to be freed from slavery to sin. And our Lord is going to accomplish that. He's the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, who is sacrificed, the unblemished, spotless lamb whose blood is placed on the doorposts of the cross. And that is given to us, such that when the angel of death sees us, the one who would bring about justice for our sins, passes over us because of the blood of the Lamb, this one whose sacrifice takes the place of what we ourselves deserve. And so the sacrifice that's accomplished by Christ on the cross is prefigured. What we see in the transfiguration is the glory of Christ, the glory that comes from love, the love of our Lord. And so far from being just a moment of difficulty and dereliction and sadness and tragedy, this is a moment of glory, where the love of God, the love of Christ, is seen through his sacrifice on the cross. Something for us to take great glory and for us to bask in, again, to give great thanks to God because of the sacrifice that is given. You know, Moses' sister Miriam was there present at the Exodus, and she is the one who, after the Exodus, begins to sing, right? Sing to the Lord because he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and chariot is cast into the sea. And so Mary too, then. Mary is the one who, first and foremost, gives thanks and praise to God because of the sacrifice of her son, because of the victory that is won. Even though it's a difficult and challenging thing for her to see her son lost, to see her son go through that agony and suffering and die, she knows, she has faith that he is going to rise from the dead, and she is the one who gives that first sacrifice of praise. And you know what it is. It's the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So we, as we look towards the sacrifice of Christ, as we again offer that same sacrifice of Christ in the Eucharist, we have the chance to offer not a horrible and awful thing, but rather a sacrifice of praise. Give thanks to God to leave our normal human pursuits behind on a Sunday, so we can go to Mass and celebrate this beautiful sacrifice that Christ has wrought for us. And the fifth luminous mystery is the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood. Not much more needs to be said at this point after hearing all these beautiful things about these other mysteries, but to be there in that moment, to be with Christ again, when not only he offers himself, but he unites men to himself to offer and commands them even, do this in memory of me, to offer that self-same sacrifice that he himself offered, offering first the sacrifice of Christ, but then joining their own bodies, their own lives, by a total gift of themselves to his bride, who is the church. Thus, these priests, these first priests, and every priest after, is united to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And Mary herself, who likely had at least a role in preparing the sacrifice of, rather preparing the Passover meal, even though she was not ordained a priest, not called to be a priest, and an ordained priest like the apostles were, she's still somehow, at the very least, present and offering, desiring anyways, to that this one sacrifice would be fulfilled. And so she there is the mother of priests. She's the mother of the Son of God and the mother of all of his priests. And so her, we can say, giving birth as she does at the foot of the cross, because of her participation or sharing in the sacrifice of Christ, that enables her to lead these other priests as well, these men that Christ has united to himself. She's able to lead them to be able to offer their sacrifices well because of who she is, and because of the way that she offers those sacrifices. She encourages on some level Christ at the fourth station of the cross where she meets him on the way to Calvary, because she spurs him on. She knows what he's made for. She knows what he's meant for. And likewise, she, as the mother of priests and the mother of the whole church, knows what we're made for, knows what we're meant for, and encourages us and challenges us to continue along the mission, to offer the sacrifice of Holy Mass, and to offer the sacrifice of ourselves, of our lives, of our whole bodies, our whole persons, to be able to be united fully and completely to our Lord, to God himself, and so share in the salvation that Christ has won for us and for the whole world, but also to bring ourselves into it and be part of that sacrifice for the sake of the whole world. Pray that as you meditate some more today on the mysteries of the Rosary, as you have a chance to be able to consider this holy sacrifice, that you, with Our Lady, give thanks to God for the gift of the Holy Priesthood and for the sake of all of those who are called to unite themselves to the sacrifice of Christ and ultimately receive the gift that he has won for us.